Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
Break it up with Linda Mitchell.
You said it, girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Communicate and collaborate.
They
want it. We give, showing others how to live.
We care, share, we love all through the land.
Well, good evening and welcome in to Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan. It is Tell It Tuesday. I hope each and every one of you had a wonderful day today. If not, you'll have a better one tomorrow. I can guarantee you that. Just keep in mind that we make the impossible possible here. We share and care. We're bringing it to you today with Miss Stephanie Haynes. And we're on our series with Healing Trauma. Last week, we talked about some interesting things. Get your pads and your pencils out. Just stay safe out there. And keep in mind that words spoken from the heart and filled with a powerful wish for someone's happiness can deeply touch that person's life and revive his or her spirit, becoming a source of lifelong inspiration. Okay, keep it in mind. That's the words of the week from one of my favorite mentors, Sasako Iketa. We teach you how to unite. We teach you how to love, build in the community, collaborate, and get the job done with the attitude of never, ever, ever giving up. So let's listen to this and wait for Ms. Haynes to come and join us. Welcome in.
It's been a while. I'm not who I was before. You look surprised. Your words don't burn me anymore. Been meaning to tell ya, but I guess it's clear to see. Don't be mad, it's just a brand new kind of me. Can't be bad, I found a brand new kind of free. Careful with your ego, he's the one that we should blame. Had to grab my heart back. God knows something had to change. Thought that you'd be happy. I found the one thing I need. Why you mad? It's just a brand new kind of me.
That's right. And we have Miss Stephanie Haynes with us this evening to take us through the healing trauma We're talking about a lot of things here, so you have plenty of paper and pencils. She's going to give us some great information. Stephanie Haynes, welcome in to Waking Up with Linda Maxine.
Good evening, Miss Linda. How are you and the listeners?
Stephanie, I am wonderful over here, and thank you, thank you. I know you're getting revved up for that wonderful health fair at the end of the week. You're busy, busy, busy. We appreciate you so much. And we're going to kind of shorten it today. We have about 45 minutes, and I'll give you information, so I don't want to rush you, but we know this is a series. So whatever we don't get to today, we'll finish it up on next week. So on that note, I'm just going to be quiet over here and let you do your thing.
All right. Well, good evening, everyone. So today we're going to talk about our strength, you know, and the things that we eat that cause, you know, disorder in our body, the benefits of being mindful, and this different types of meditation practices that we can engage in. So let's talk about the different types of meditations. I'm going to start there first. You know, and as I talk, you know, there are many different types of meditation practices, and as with physical training, each type gives rise to its own unique and most likely outcome. For example, one type is the mindfulness meditation, which generally includes the cultivation of A, focused attention, B, open monitoring, spacious awareness of whatever comes to mind, and for some researchers, C, compassion or loving kindness meditation. Now, in the first type, the focused attention meditation, which is usually the starting point for a beginning meditator, we aim to center the mind in the present moment by focusing on a chosen single object or stimulus, such as our breath. Now, to maintain this focus, we need to constantly monitor I concentration on the chosen object to avoid mind wandering. Now, as soon as we become aware of a distraction, as we notice our attention is no longer on the designation object or activity, redirect our attention back to the object of our focus. Now, focus attention training can help us begin to have awareness and management over our attention capacity to sustain our attention and redirect it when it wanders. Now, building the foundation for fully inhabiting the present moment, after we become familiar with focus attention meditation and can take part in the efforts to sustain our attentional focus for a considerable amount of time. Now, let's say 15 or 20 minutes for a beginner and more for long-time practitioners. We may choose to try a second kind of meditation called open monitoring meditation, which does not involve any object or event, just here involve the monitoring of awareness itself. That is, we remain open and attentive to whatever experience may arise. Now, without selecting, judging, clinging to, or focusing on any particular object or event, we observe and note phenomena as they come and go. Now, keeping our attention flexible is a spacious awareness of whatever comes to mind, naming what comes to your attention. Flexible, it's a spacious awareness of whatever comes to mind. Some teachers recommended naming what comes to your attention, such as sounds, feelings, or sensations, and then letting it go. Key is that our awareness is open to whatever arises but doesn't get carried away or overtaken by any one thing. We are simply resting in awareness. We can practice open monitoring informally by taking a moment here and there throughout our day to notice and observe what thoughts, feelings, or sensations are arising for us. Now, perhaps by setting such an attention before a meeting or difficult conversation, similarly, we can set our intention to take a small sigh and sensations during a walk, such as feeling the wind on our face, or each morning when we, go to the garden, we pay attention to the shadows and the smells. We can be present for any of our everyday tasks, and the more moment we can completely inhabit the present. Now, the calmer we feel, remember, for as many moments as you can be present, that would be enough for right now. Try it out for yourself. Also, please don't forget to treasure the informal practice as much as the formal. Both are beneficial. Most important, please don't be hard on yourself if you don't have a regular formal practice at all right now. Now, in a third type of mindfulness meditation, compassion or loving kindness meditation, we extend feelings of love and compassion self. Now, incorporating the elements of both focus, attention, and open monitoring, practitioners focus on developing love and compassion, usually first for ourselves, although this can be challenging for some, in which cause starting with a loved one or perhaps a pet may work well too, and then gradually extending this love to others, from family and friends to strangers, and ultimately to individuals with whom you are experiencing some challenges or difficulties. All right. So loving kindness meditation has been associated with an increase in positive emotion activations of empathy, an increase in pro-social behavior, and a reduction in self-criticism, among other benefits. Researcher has also shown that meditation incorporating all three types of mindfulness meditation, focus, attention, open monitoring, and loving kindness cultivates well-being in those who practice it. Now, you may be wondering, how does loving kindness meditation relate to the other two types of meditation we have been discussing. Now, here's one way to think about it. Let's say you are doing an open monitoring practice. That is setting your intention to attention, not whatever arises, sounds, smells, the sensation of the air on your face, and verbally your mind will wander. And quite predictably, you may find your thoughts turning to something like the argument you had last night with your roommate, your mate, family member, whomever it may be. Rather than getting upset with yourself, thinking that you can even do a simple practice and stay on task, reframe your response by being kind to yourself in those split seconds. And recall that mind wandering is ingrained in all of us. One of the most amazing things about a meditation practice, the very instant you realize that you are not paying attention, you are already back on task. How many other things in our lives have such a quick fix? We have discussed just three types of meditation practice here, but there are many others. Although in one setting, our meditation section, you could choose to practice all three kinds. You could, for example, bend with focus, attention on your breath, and then move to open monitoring, and then to loving kindness. No matter what type of meditation you choose to practice, certain qualities are likely to arise unique to each type, such as a stable and clear mind, emotional balance, and a sense of love and compassion. Now, one student put it this way: I always thought it was about what happened during the meditation, but that's not it. It's what happens out in my life. Similarly, mindfulness leader Sharon Salzberg, she reminded us, we don't meditate to get better at meditating. We meditate to get better at life. I'm going to say that again. We meditate to get better at life. Now, the benefits of mindfulness. So let's talk about major health benefits of mindfulness, including reducing stress, strengthening our attention, and slowing the aging process. I know my practice in Buddhism, chanting, it keeps us young. And that's a form of meditation. You know, we practice in the morning and we practice in the evening. You know, so, and that's a form of mindfulness meditation. Now, reduce stress and anxiety. Anxiety and stress have sometimes been correlated with an active amygdala in the limbic area of the brain, which communicates with both the survival orient brain stems below and the reasoning story creating the cortex above it. The amygdala is our brain radar for threats, and it plays a dual role of directing our attention and shaping our intense emotional reaction. Now, a chronically active amygdala becomes a larger amygdala. When we are upset, we become distracted as we review over and over in our mind whatever is making us anxious. This creation is an example of unintentional mind wandering, which is stressful in and of itself and reduce our ability to pay attention. Now take a moment now to identify that one thing that has such a hold on you that you find yourself thinking about it over and over again. Now it may be the last thing you think of at night and the first thing you think of each morning. And if you are like most of us, before this must issue, there was something else, just as after this issue passed, there will be another one. Now, one thing we cannot do is go through life without problems. There can always be problems, but however, it's how we process and deal with those problems, because they're always going to be there. They say that never count your chickens before they hatch. So what if there were a way to break this exhausting pattern and get a message to our amygdala? And I may not be saying this right. It's A-M-Y-G-D-A-L-A. All right. So mindfulness called the amygdala the making it less reactive, thereby decreasing its size and reducing our anxiety and stress. Now, by regulating the amygdala more effectively, the prefrontal cortex can diminish the activity and the size of the amygdala over time. Now, in this way, the mindfulness practice that stimulates the growth of the regulatory prefrontal region may be how this main training after the structure of the brain and cultivate more emotionally stability. Strengthen the attention with focus. Attention training, the brain is repeatedly engaged in a way that stabilizes attention, enabling the individual to select and maintain the focus of attention. Now notice, now, when the attention has wandered, redirect attention to the intended focus and ultimately become less distractible. In monitoring practice, we learn to distinguish the experience of being aware from what it is that we are aware of. In other words, we learn to see how mental activity, like thoughts or feelings, are simply objects of awareness, not the totality of our identity or the absolute reality. Various brain regions are believed to be activated and grow to facilitate these strengthened attentions, including aspects of the prefrontal and the exterior cingulate cortex. Now, to enhance the cardiovascular function, the mindfulness training may improve the cardiovascular function in several ways, such as lowering cholesterol, optimizing the blood pressure, and helping the brain communicate in a more balanced way with the heart. Now, the heart and the brain have two ways communication with each other. And practice that includes a body scan, which focuses on the interior sensation of the heart region and other bodily areas, may be a key component to how these mind training improve physiological function. Now, how it helps treat the eating disorder. Now, mindful eating involves a practice of being aware of the sensation of eating and including distinguishing the feelings of hunger and being full. You know, there's individuals out there that eat, you know, they do emotional eating, and which I call that soothing. Now, for many with challenge to healthy eating, whether restricting or overeating, many complex emotion thoughts, body image, distortion, and social issues may make the process of being hungry and eating in a healthy and balanced way difficult. Mindfulness may help by providing a way to distinguish basic psychological needs for nurturing, for emotionally driven issues regarding self-acceptance and social relationships that in some cases may have become symbolically represented as image of the body. Now, in the brain, one image of the size and the shape of the body is distinct from being aware of the body sensation. In the case of eating challenges, the person may be preoccupied with body image while also being less aware of the body's actual sensation. Mindfulness may help people be more in touch with bodily sensations, while also empowering them to see a body image preoccupation as simply a mental activity, not absolute reality or the totality of their identity. Now, a sense research study psychologist Lawrence Russell showed change in the brain function after mindfulness training, whereby he taught the participant how to decenter, that is, to observe their mind activity and become more aware that these are just activities of the mind, that is, the thought, the emotions, and the memories. Now, these training all allowed them to choose healthy over unhealthy foods. We don't know the long-term effects of the intervention, however, but this finding, along with other research, provides empirical reasons for optimism for the power of the mindfulness training in addressing eating disorder. Okay, so now I want you to take out your pens and paper. Now we're going to build the empathy and compassion. Now with present, we become aware of suffering both within ourselves and in our larger world. Now empathy can be defined as having at least these five facets, okay? Number one, emotional resonance, feeling the feelings of others. 2, perceptive taking, seeing through another person's eyes. 3, cognitive empathy, understanding the mind of another person. 4, the joy, being happy for another, happiness and success. And 5, the empathetic concern, caring about the welfare of another, the gateway for compassion. Now, empathy doesn't have an accompanying action items, so we can feel overwhelmed or helpless if we just feel empathetic without engaging our ability to be compassionate by doing something to reduce suffering. If we over-identify feelings of suffering, we can lose differentiations and become burnt out. Compassion has these 3 components. 1, sensing suffering of self or others. 2, reflecting on how to reduce that suffering. 3, innating behavior to reduce suffering. Now, in loving kindness meditation, for example, the verbal statements or linguistic representation that lightly stimulates the activity of compassion, certainty, and with repeat practice, they may strengthen these activated networks to create a more compassionate set of traits. So, Ms. Linda, you have any questions?
Stephanie, I'm over here. You know I'm going through all of these, the questions that I have, the empathy and compassion, and you gave us the five layers of that was coming through. But what I sort of like wanted to talk about was the mindfulness meditation, and especially the example that you gave with the food, with the thoughts, emotions, and memories. So, on when you said the taste, the thought, the memories, what did this have you think about? You can do mindfulness meditation in any area because that's the focusing and the openingness, right, that brings about the compassion and the empathy. So let me get this straight because we're going to wrap down and we'll pick up this, listeners, next week, and it's going to be a powwow because Stephanie is getting ready for a wonderful, wonderful wellness event on the 30th, and that is the summer solstice. She'll give you information on that. Please go out, meet her in person, get some more information, have some great food, see some great people. But the meditation, speaking with us about it, the 3 forms of the open-mindedness, the focus, having the compassion, all of these things bring about, how can I put it? It gives us a balance of what we need to do. And if I'm getting this straight, you can go from one to the other. You just don't have to stick with one form. You can go from the mindedness. You can go from the open-mindedness. You can move down into the compassion. And the example that you gave about the chanting, from what I understand and what I know, that moves the endorphins through the body because of the rhythm that it sets, and that encompasses everything. So therefore, that takes care of that aging. So that brought a smile to my face. So, and that too is a form of meditation that is mindfulness, but it encompasses all. So I'm just going to jot my notes here. And I think I got it in. I'm doing pretty good over here. We appreciate it. But I'd like you to take a few moments and give us a number to call and information about this wonderful event that's happening on April 30th, which is a summer solstice. It's going to be great energy out there, great people and great things happening. Could you tell us a little bit about that before we close out?
Yes, so the title of the event called Spring into Wellness, And at this event, we will have different modalities and practices to, you know, bring yourself back to wholeness. We'll have someone be doing massages. We have yoga. We're going to be having foot detox, facials, acupuncture, you know. So, and they'll be selling yoga clothing, crystal spring water. There's a whole lot of things that just come out, you know, herbs, juices. Just come out on Saturday at 11:30 to come out and just join yourself and engage into, I say, a place of healing. It's going to be wonderful.
A place of healing. Now, should they give you a call to get more information, or would you like to put the address out there, or how should we do this?
Oh, yeah. Actually, they can let me get the address where it's going to be held. Let me see.
The 817. I don't have my paper here. I know it's on Washington Boulevard.
Yes, on Washington Boulevard.
Let me see if I can pull mine up. I know it's going to be an exciting event to attend, and they'll
okay,
be able to get. You found the address?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, the address. It's 5436 West Washington Boulevard.
West Washington, okay.
Yes. So there's going to be acupuncture, massages, yoga, Reiki, mini facials. They're going to have crystal jewelry, article reading, yoga, fashion, health and wellness forums. Just come on out and much more. So we're going to have good food.
Good food. You're going to have actually vegan-type food, or will it be a mixture there?
Yes,
for those
food.
Who are not
uh-huh.
vegan, I know there'll be a selection. Well,
Stephanie
Haynes, I know it's going from 11:30 till, did you say 5 or 4?
4. Mm-hmm.
Till 4. Okay, it's a good area, nice parking there. It's going to be fun. So if you're in the area or you want to have something nice to do, on the summer solstice, which, not the solar eclipse, I'm so sorry. We're talking about the solar eclipse here, which carries that beautiful energy out there. And the persons that are going to be out there are all in tune. They're all healers. You're going to enjoy it. So, again, that's on Saturday. That's April 30th. The address 5436 West Washington Boulevard. And the title is Spring into Wellness. So on that note, Stephanie Haynes, healer and author of The Healing of the Wound, whatever we miss this week, we'll put it on for next week to wrap up. I have my notes here, and I know you'll have some additions because you will be talking about that wonderful event. And I'd like to say we're not going to keep you any longer because we know you have work to do, and we appreciate you for coming out and sharing and caring with us. Listeners, Stephanie Haynes, the author of The Healing of the Wound and The Healing of a Man's Heart, and many, many other things out there. So if you get an opportunity, go meet her on Saturday. See the fine jewelry. Get a foot detox, a massage, yoga, facials. Just spring into wellness. That's what it's all about. Stephanie, we love you, and thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay,
you have a great one.
And I'll see you Saturday. Thank you. Keep it going.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
We'll be right back. We care, share, we love all through the land.